Welcome to NFP for Life with Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberg.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our program, NFP for Life. We're very happy to be with you today. I'm Dr. Les Ruppersberger, and I'm here with my wife, Betty Ruppersberger. And as always, Betty will open with a prayer.
Hello, everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you, God, for the wonderful gift of fertility. Bless us with knowledge and understanding of this gift as we live from day to day with a desire to please you. Be with us in the special times when we rejoice in our love and the sacrament of marriage. Help us to understand your plan for us and show us how to be responsible parents. In you we will put our trust. We ask this through Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today for our program, we'd like to do a recap of our Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Conference, which took place last month down at Our Lady of Good Counsel Parish in Southampton, Pennsylvania. And we were very blessed to have a beautiful day and had a little over 80 people attend, had a great lineup of speakers. And then at the end of the day, we were joined by His Eminence Cardinal Justin Regali, who came to speak to the group for about 20 to 30 minutes and then celebrated Mass at the 5:15 Vigil Mass at Our Lady of Good Counsel. So just to give you a little bit of a recap of our day and what we were talking about, our theme was marriage, a decision of love, natural family planning, and marriage prep. And our special focus was on looking at marriage prep programs in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. I began the conference by presenting some information on a survey that was performed by the Family Life Office in 2010, where a total of 144 parishes responded to the survey. And the total number of parishes in our archdiocese that has a marriage prep program is 63. And these 63 parishes have to prepare over 5,000 Catholics to be married in the church every year. 38 of the programs present a one-day conference. 8 of them have a two-day retreat. And 5 of them go 3 or more days. Some do half days. Some do partial sessions. Some do the archdiocesan program, which is offered 4 times a year. Some use a program called Unitas, which was introduced to the archdiocese several years ago. Our own parish at St. Ignatius of Antioch in Yardley does Decision to Love, Decision to Love. And in fact, we just finished our program this past weekend. Some do several 5-hour sessions. And some do a one-day program in the spring and a multi-day program in the fall. Many of them offer no formal resources. 13 of them follow the Family Life program in marriage prep. 9 of them are parish programs. 2 of them are specifically geared toward African Americans. 43 use multiple sources. There are 34 parishes that do not have a marriage prep team or a program, and 51 parishes with a program who use the premarital inventory. As we go through some of the other program, one of the questions that's always interesting that fascinates Betty and I and the purpose of our radio program and our ministry, how many of the programs offer information or a presentation on NFP to the engaged couples? 27 of the 63 offer information on NFP. That's less than half. As you go down the list, would you like a training program for marriage prep team to present on NFP? 18 of them responded yes. 14 of them amazingly responded no. They don't want any information on NFP. Would you be interested in the Family Life Office NFP Witness Couple Resource, which provides information on NFP? 21 said yes, 11 said no. Do you offer information on NFP to your engaged couples? 10 said yes, and 10 said no. And these were to the parishes that do not have a marriage prep program. Would you be interested in the Family Life Office Resource? 16 said yes, and 3 said no. So is it no wonder that our Catholic couples today have absolutely no idea of what natural family planning is, and somewhere between 2-4% of the population is willing or is aware and knows of natural family planning. So with this information, we kicked into the conference, and our first speaker was Tara Plymouth, who presented at the service of the sacrament and went through a little bit of theology and church teaching on natural family planning. And this was from the Family Life Office, and then reviewed the resources and made available those resources to those attendees for what was available through the Family Life Office and the type of program that they present, which focuses and concentrates predominantly on the theology of the sacrament and the sacramentality of the marriage and the biblical basis of the two becoming one and the one flesh. Following her talk, we had Bill Donahue, and I know that Betty will have a few words to say about this and his presentation. He was absolutely amazing. His talk was entitled Theology of the Body and Marriage Prep. And what Bill did, Bill is a theology teacher at Malvern Prep. And Betty, do you have a couple of comments that you want to offer? We were talking about Bill the other day.
Right. We were very blessed to have Bill come to our program and speak, because he's an amazing speaker, and he also is a speaker and a educator for the Theology of the Body Institute, so that he was able to really explain to us John Paul II's teachings of theology of the body, just little snippets, and it was just amazing because there's so much and it's so rich. But he was able to address that with us, and it was quite entertaining. But he also gave us his personal witness, and it was just a beautiful witness of his beautiful children and how God has a plan for a joy-filled marriage for all of us, and that we need to, you know, understand that plan. And understanding the theology of our bodies will enrich our marriages. So it was quite amazing. He's offering from the Theology of the Body Institute a one-week seminar this summer for people to be trained in teaching theology of the body. So we were very blessed and very enriched by having Bill there. And he also has a website, which I went on because I wanted to know more, because he was so engaging. And it's called Mission Moments. And he writes a blog, and he speaks about theology of the body as he would, because he is a teacher of it. He's also an educator. He teaches high school at Malvern Prep, and he teaches religion there. And he also teaches at Immaculata College. And he does a lot of work at that college with theology of the body. And he also has a daily blog. He's on the Sunshine Morning Show on Catholic Radio once a month. And he has his blog is Mission Moments. You can even sign up for that, and you would receive that on your email. And if you get an opportunity, go on to that Mission Moments. I think it's missionmoments.org. But his name is Bill Donahue, and he is a young man with a young family who can help you along your journey in faith.
And if you want more information about that program that Bill's going to have available this summer, go to theologyofthebodyinstitute.org, and they have all their programs. And what Bill did is reviewed some of the statistics with respect to many of the things that Betty and I have spoken to on this program previously, including the fact that over 85% of Catholics contracept, that close to 90% of Catholics are sexually active prior to getting married, that the majority of them are cohabiting even when they enter pre-Cana programs with respect to going through the focus, which is a questionnaire that the priests do with the couples. And I've spoken to a couple of priests about that, and they really don't have any authority to try to encourage these couples to stop cohabiting prior to marriage, or to be discontinue being sexually active and being chaste. We find that many of them are somewhat repelled, if not angry, over church teaching. And many in times when Betty and I and Greg and Jen Ruppersberger present information at our pre-Cana on sexuality and intimacy and NFP, we do have quite a few people that are somewhat mildly annoyed, if you want to say that.
But I think throughout time, you know, in the past 10 years, things are starting to turn, and there is a little bit more interest. And I think it's because a lot more couples are more health conscious, and they see this as a healthy way. And amazingly enough, it's the first time they've ever heard it in marriage prep program or anywhere that it even exists. So we just got to keep on plugging along to spread this message, to get people to understand it. And yesterday we had our program at our parish, our pre-Cana program, and I liked it because Greg and Jen got up to present, and Greg presented, he opened with, how many people in the audience have a Mac computer? And relating to young people, you know, there are Mac users in the world, and all young people have computers. So I would say out of 18 couples, there were about 3 that had a Mac computer. And he said, and the rest have Windows-based. So he said, I have a point here, but I just want to get to it. And he correlated it with those people in society who practice NFP and those who contracept. And in the Mac field, in the Mac world of computers, there's no antiviruses. There's never any glitches. It's easy to use, and it's why aren't more people purchasing Mac? And it's the same analogy with NFP. Why don't more people look into NFP, and why aren't more people practicing NFP? And it's all a marketing thing almost in the world. And we are overwhelmed and inundated with the pharmaceutical industry that will convince women that they need to use contraception. And most especially outside of marriages. And it's kind of disturbing. I know we all have watched and witnessed commercials on television, and most especially when our young children are watching or whatever, it's so inappropriate. But they have this long list of side effects and harmful things that can happen, and women are still being sucked into this marketing to want to contracept. And NFP is the greatest thing, the best kept secret in the Catholic Church. It's healthy, and it's enriching in a marriage. It's two people coming together in their marriage, deciding on their family and when they want to achieve pregnancy. And nobody pays attention, or I won't say nobody, but a small percentage do. So we need to keep on plugging, get this word out, and realize that this is a jewel that needs to be, the word needs to be spread, and people need to learn about this.
Other aspects that we've mentioned many times previously also is that natural family planning is 99% effective when it's used properly and you follow the rules. It is 100% natural. It has absolutely no side effects. It is very, very inexpensive if you use the symptothermal method, which is the method that Betty and I teach and what is recommended by the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Thermometers we give to the couples, but they only cost maybe $8 or $10, and they last for 2 or 3 years. You need some ink. You need the charts, which we also give the couples. And essentially within 3 to 4 months of charting, the majority of the couples are very much aware of their fertility. They know the time of the month that they're fertile, and they are constantly communicating as a marital couple with respect to, as Greg says, do we want to have a baby tonight? And people discuss their mucus and they discuss their temperature, and it really doesn't cost anything, so no one's going to make any money. And yet in the background behind us, there are constant research programs going on funded by pharmaceutical industries in the tens to the hundreds of millions of dollars, finding other uses of treating acne and treating menstrual cramps and regulating menstrual cycles and preventing menstrual cycles and doing all kinds of things to suppressing women's natural hormones. And you have to ask the question, at what price? We've done many programs here at the station on the side effects and the upgrades on information relative to deleterious effects of the contraceptive pill, not just physically, but also emotionally and psychologically. And now with all the breast cancer issues that are constantly going on, with people being concerned about it, and the relationship between estrogen and breast cancer, which we've documented, you have to wonder why some women would be willing to risk their health and subject their potential future ability to be able to have children and even their survival for the benefit of taking the pill so that they can have sex without consequences, and yet it does have consequences. The consequences are just not obvious. So this conference was trying to reel in not so much the physical and the scientific aspects of contraception, but to give a foundation of what John Paul II was talking about in his Theology of the Body, that man can only come to know himself through the gift of himself. And one of the things that I emphasize in some of the conversations that I have with pre-Cana couples is that if you leave here this weekend just remembering one thing, the one word that I want you to remember is gift. That you are a gift, that you are giving yourself 100% to the other. And one of the questions that John Paul raises and that should be asked is that if a couple wants to know whether or not they have authentic love, they need to ask themselves the following questions. Is this love free? In other words, do I give it totally willingly and freely? And do I have any other consequences or obligations behind why I'm giving this love? Is this love total? Am I giving myself 100% to this other person? And if you're withholding your fertility, then the answer is no, you are not giving yourself 100%. Is this love faithful? Will I be faithful to you forever until death do us part, through thicker or thin, through better for worse, for richer or for poorer? Right in the marriage vows. And if the answer to that question is no, and if you've had other relationships that have involved sexual intimacy prior to marriage, what would make one think that if one can give oneself to other partners, why would this particular relationship be any different than any other? And then finally, the question that one needs to ask is this love that I have fruitful? In other words, am I open to life? And if you're missing any of those aspects of any part of those four qualities or four features that John Paul speaks to in Theology of the Body, then you are totally not engaged in unconditional love, and that your love is not true, and you need to be able to find that within yourself. And so we present these informations, and Bill spoke to that because of what is going on in our culture and our society. And I think that he laid a really, really good foundation as to why we so desperately need to understand why Jesus became man and the incarnation and what the meaning of the body is, and that the body is sacred, and hence the word theology of the body. It's the awareness of the Word of God through the body. We can only come to know God through the body, and we get an opportunity to experience Trinitarian love. So I don't mean this to be a lesson on theology of the body, but it was just such an excellent, overwhelming synopsis of theology of the body that Bill gave. And the way we outlined the conference is that we built the theological basis of marriage with Tara's talk, and then we used the theology of the body and John Paul's works to set the formation and foundation for our third talk, which was Damon Owens. And if you want to address that a little bit, you can
Well, I just want to, before we get there, I just want, what I've realized as a married woman and a spectator at this conference was that the young men in our society today, you know, in general, are commonly, you know, engaging in activities outside of marriage. But when I met the men that presented at this conference, like Bill Donahue and Damon Owens, who's also on EWTN, I was amazed at the respect and the love and the care that they give to their spouse and to their family, and how important it is and how godly it was. And that impressed me so much, because in a family unit, the father is so important, and the husband and the father are so important, and they are the leaders of their family. And it was displayed greatly by these men. Even yesterday at our pre-Cana, Greg mentioned when he was giving his talk that he and his wife wanted to practice NFP, but mostly he, because he did not want his wife taking any kind of medication. He did not want her risking her health. He loved her immensely, and he wanted to care for her. And what an amazing testimony. But when we did the evaluations at the end, more men responded positively about NFP from the evaluations, which was so amazing to me. And I can see that this manly fatherness, this gift that, you know, God is giving to these marriages, for these men to step up and love their wives as gifts, was starting to sink in, especially with the evaluations. But when Damon Owens got up, he gave his testimony, and gave a long testimony about he and his wife, and they had met in college, and, you know, he really didn't give it much thought about children, and, you know, and all of a sudden the light bulb went on in his life, and he realized that, why is he here? What is the purpose? And they started to have children, and they had a few children until they lost a child in miscarriage. Did it impact him so greatly that he knew that all children, and he expressed this, are here forever to be with us in the kingdom, that our children are a supreme gift of the marriage, and that it is forever. It's not just here on earth, but forever. As all of us, we all, our purpose in life as married couples is to help our spouse get to heaven, and also to help our children get to heaven, so that we can all be there in the loving arms of our Father in eternity. So, you know, he wasn't a kid-friendly person, but it was kind of amusing, because he has a few kids, then he adopted a few kids, and he wound up with eight children. And every one of these kids, every one of these children are a gift to his family, and he knows that, and he treasures that, and it was sweet and amusing at the same time.
And one of the things that Damon is, actually his ministry is called a God's Plan for a Joy-Filled Marriage, and it is a marriage prep program that is based on theology of the body. And Betty and I are going to spend the next so many minutes of our program to kind of give you an overview, because it's such an impressive program, and it's so theologically sound and based in such reverence of love that we think that perhaps it should be the program of choice for most parishes, and it doesn't take a lot of training. And he started out his slide presentation with a quote from John Paul II. And John Paul II stated, I encourage you to continue to place a strong emphasis on marriage as a Christian vocation to which couples are called, and to give them the means to live it fully through marriage preparation programs, which are, and this is in bold, serious in purpose, excellent in content, sufficient in length, and obligatory in nature. And so we have to be serious about how we're preparing couples for these programs. We have to give them the tools in these programs that they can take with them to help build a good marriage. And we really have to make these programs mandatory, and we have to get our parishes on board and get them to consider that this God's plan for a joy-filled marriage may be the kind of program that they need to look into for the future. And two of the discoveries that they found in their history, or the history behind the program, is that number one, parishes were doing a really good job with life skills, but they felt very ill-equipped for theology and sexuality presentations. And finding couples or presenters to speak on these topics was really tough. Betty and I go around and do probably 10 different parishes every year. And we go in because the couples on the team are not comfortable discussing sexuality, or they're not comfortable, or they're not aware of NFP. And so we go in as a guest couple. Well, and we do what we have talked about previously on the program called our roadshow.
I noticed also at a lot of the pre-Canas that we go to, the audience only likes the superficial things. They don't want to go any deeper because they might have to look at themselves and look at what they're doing and examine, you know, their partner and decide, is this really the person for me? So it's really important, and I see it in our pre-Cana. We do the life skills, but then when we start to get into spirituality and theology and sexuality, they are very intense. They are not too sure. They are hearing things that they have never heard before. And it's a way to present it. One of the gentlemen yesterday said, thank you for your presentation. It wasn't preachy. It was just being given to us to allow us to make our own decisions. And that's all we can do. We are not trying to preach to anyone. We are trying to feed people the true message of Christ. And it's up to them to eat and drink of it.
And if you think it's easy to present Catholic Church teaching, authentic Catholic Church teaching, which is totally contradictory to the behavior of 85% of the people that are sitting in front of you, without sounding preachy, without offending, without attacking, without trying to put your beliefs, and they honestly believe that it's our opinion. And I make an announcement at the beginning of the weekend that nothing that any of the couples say is inconsistent with authentic Catholic Church teaching, and that these are the teachings of the Church, and that we're here to plant seeds, and we're here to give you tools. And I use the tool analogy on and off throughout the entire weekend every time I get an opportunity to speak. And despite that, we still get some of the evaluation forms back saying that they felt that we were too passionate and that we were trying to force our views, our personal opinions on them. And we can understand that and we accept that, but we're not going to modify and back off and say, oh, well, geez, maybe we were a little bit too strong or whatever, because we only have an hour and a half to 2 hours to do that part of the program. And yet this theology of the body, this God's plan for joyful marriage, actually goes into a whole day. So their solution is to focus on two key areas. And the results were God's plan for a joy-filled marriage. And Betty's going to tell you in a moment some of the results. But Pope Benedict XVI, to follow up on John Paul II, Presented in Sacramentum Caritatis, that the Synod also recommended devoting maximum pastoral attention to training couples preparing for marriage and to ascertaining beforehand their convictions regarding the obligations required for the validity of the sacrament of matrimony. Again, in quotes, in bold, serious discernment in this matter will help to avoid situations where impulsive decisions or superficial reasons lead two young people to take on responsibilities that they are then incapable of honoring. And what this speaks to is the annulment process and, you know, what goes on with people coming back and saying, well, I didn't know, I didn't understand, I didn't, you know, comprehend, I didn't, I wasn't sure, I didn't know what I was doing, you know, that type of thing. And so ultimately, it really, you really need to prepare these couples appropriately. And some of the characteristics of this God's plan for a joy-filled marriage are that it's very evangelistic in its approach. You're actually evangelizing these people. You're teaching these people, and you have to meet them where they are. As I already mentioned, it's based on theology of the body. And it's a supplement for theology of marriage and human sexuality. And believe me, couples don't understand in any way, shape, or form what sexuality means and what all of this means as far as theology. That they've never taken a theology course and they don't really understand it.
And most people aren't really catechized. They stop going to CCD at sixth grade. Or they're not really practicing their faith. Maybe they're even going to Mass on Sunday, but they haven't picked up a publication or they haven't been led to it. Because it seems as if everybody wants to be fed. Nobody wants to go, if they're hungry, go to the refrigerator and eat. They want it to be fed, spoon-fed to them. All this information is out there. Praise the Lord that we have the internet now, that it can be gotten at the click of a mouse, and they are amazed when we give them a list of websites that they can go to just to review a lot of this stuff. So this is our opportunity as pre-Cana presenters to evangelize two couples, because you know they're in that age group where some are going to Mass, some are not, but they stopped catechizing themselves. And this is our big opportunity.
And to get them to understand where this is requires a paradigm shift. And one of the beauties of the God's plan for a joy-filled marriage is that it's witness-oriented, so people are getting up and giving their witness and testimony. And how did Jesus speak to us in the gospel? He spoke to us through parables. He told us stories. And those stories made impacts to the people that he was speaking to. Paul's letters are all addressed to specific populations in specific areas. He didn't write to the Corinthians the same way that he wrote to the Romans, the same way he wrote to the Colossians or the Galatians. He wrote differently to each group because they lived in a different type of culture and society. So this includes life skills. On the first day, and what Damon said, what you need to do is you need to build a rapport. You need to develop a language of communication with the couples. And so when they go through communications, when they go through finance, when they go through family of origin, when they go through leisure and friends, and you go through those topics, all of which are incorporated in our decision to love topics, you develop a language that you can communicate with these couples on the first day, and you build up a formation or a foundation, if you will, and that witness will wake couples up and let them know, geez, there's people up there standing in front of me that have actually had similar experiences, or they were where we are now and they've changed. And it combines church teaching and gives them the deep roots of the belief that will help them to weather the storms that living a faithful marriage will bring. So again, as I said, you're planting seeds, you're giving roots and foundation, and you're trying to form these people, but you have to get them to look at things a little bit differently and kind of put aside their views of sexuality and intimacy.
And you know, there's a good meaning. It's very rich formation, the word formation. You know, a lot of us were raised Catholic, but we weren't raised in formation of the Catholic faith. And there are families that have formed their children in the faith. This joy, God's plan for joy-filled marriage, Damon said, is so important. It's not just a regular pre-Cana program with a couple of papers that you can hand out. This is the opportunity of the teaching couples to form people in their marriage in the theology of the body and understanding that in good formation. So the witness couple will wake couples up, but the formation of couples within the church teaching provides the deep roots of belief that will help them weather the storms that faithfully living marriage will bring. And a lot of people they haven't realized that they're actually being catechized by coming to pre-Cana, and they're learning for the first time that this is a sacred sacrament, and that all of this, and I know it's deep, but it's beautiful, that they learn the beauty of the theology of the body, and they can apply it to their marriages and to their families.
Some of the key elements of theology of the body, the language that John Paul gives us, is what he refers to as the personalistic norm. It refers to the person and the meaning of the person, mind, body, and spirit created in the image and likeness of God, and coming to know God through the body. Understanding of who the human person is and what the human person is and how they're created in God's image and likeness with intellect and free will. And probably the most important thing, and this really has to do with attitude of presentation and is so significant. And Betty says this all the time, and it's not just in our presentations. It's not just in anything that you would teach. It also has to do with your personal communication in your marriage, in your life, with your children, with friends, with anyone that you would communicate with in any way, shape, or form. And that is, and I won't take it away from you.
It's not what you say. It's how you say it and how you present it, you know. And that's what's so important. We propose. We don't impose the faith. We propose the faith. And we try to say it. Whatever the truth is, we say, but in a proposing way and not in an imposing way. So life-changing results have happened through this God's plan for a joy-filled marriage. 91% of the couples that came to pre-Cana were sexually active coming into the program. 48% of the 91% said they would save sex until marriage after being presented this program. 31% stated that they will definitely use natural family planning. That's 31%. We only had a few couples, three couples out of 18. 31% at this, going through this God's plan for a joy-filled marriage. 78% came away with a better understanding of the Catholic marriage. And 50% came away with a more positive impression of the Catholic Church. This is life-changing results that we're honored to give this information to our pre-Cana couples that are starting a new life together and creating new families.
And the amazing thing about this is that we're living in a culture where close to 40 to 50% of our couples are getting divorced, and only 20% of people attend Mass and therefore avail themselves of access to the Eucharist, God, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist comes directly to us. So planting these seeds and giving this information and having these kinds of results, and this is not just in one presentation, this is nationally, where this presentation has spread throughout probably close to a third of all the dioceses in the United States have adopted over the last couple of years God's plan for a joy-filled marriage. And as you look at those nationwide statistics, those that are choosing natural family planning freely are somewhere between 4% and 15%. And when you look at the statistics that anywhere from 2% to 4% are actually using NFP, to get the number up to 15% and multiply it times 4, and in the previous mention that Betty said that 31% agreed to using natural family planning definitely in their marriage, that's almost a third of people. I mean, this is huge. This mathematically is absolutely huge, and these statistics are holding up throughout the country. So if we who promote natural family planning, and we who are in favor of marriage and the family, and we who want to evangelize and promote to our young people, and especially those of you who are parents, if you don't know about theology of the body, if you don't know about natural family planning, then get to know about it and find out about it, and buy some resources that will allow your children to come and become aware of it.
Well, yesterday also we asked for a raise of hands of how many people ever heard of natural family planning. And I can honestly say for the first time in 10 years that I've been involved in pre-Cana, there were a large number of hands up. There were a lot of people that actually at least heard about it, which I was amazed, actually quite amazed, because normally we don't get that show of hands. Not that they knew the whole aspect of it, but they at least heard of it, which I find to be so important. Just to get that message out, the people will be piqued to at least look into it. And that's what I, you know, and maybe times are changing, hopefully. Praise God. I hope they are.
Some of the nuts and bolts of the program for God's Plan for a Joy-Filled Marriage, part one in your the presentation is Catholic faith in your marriage. And the first presentation is God's plan of marriage in the beginning. The second presentation is Christ restores God's plan for marriage, so that God actually had a plan for marriage in the very beginning with Adam and Eve in the garden, but then through sin and through concupiscence and through the fall, that plan was modified significantly. And when God came back, the very first miracle that Jesus did was at the wedding feast of Cana, hence the name of the programs, pre-Cana, what goes on before the marriage and the wedding feast. And then the third presentation is, what are you saying I do to? And these are all presented in the first day, and they incorporate the life skills that basically tell people what's going on as far as the basis. And what are you really doing when you're taking your vows? What is this covenant that I'm taking and I'm promising to this woman? How am I actually, you know, getting involved and engaged in doing something with this sacrament that I'm about to receive? And then part two of the program on the second day is the sacramentality of sexuality. And I know that most people don't connect sexuality with being sacred and sacramental. But the fourth presentation is the joy of sexual honesty before marriage. The fifth presentation is the joy of sexual honesty within marriage. And the sixth presentation, now you finally end up with, at the end of the first day, as you build a foundation, practical benefits of natural family planning. So you're not actually teaching a natural family planning course, but you're actually going through building the foundation, letting them know what it is that they're doing, letting them know how it is that they're doing it, and then finally presenting to them At the end and the second day in the language. And one thing that Damon really made a point of, and we really paid attention to at this time, the very first day, we always talked about cohabitation and prenuptial agreements.
Exactly.
And this time, we did not on the first day. And we waited till the second day, and we waited until they got to know who the couples were and why we were there and what we were doing. And we had breakfast with them and lunch with them on Saturday, and now on Sunday, and we invited them to come to Mass, and many of them got up and received the Eucharist and presented the gifts. And now we get into the nitty-gritty, or the down and dirty, as they call it. And people have variable opinions, and I'd say 50% are very happy, 30% are kind of ambivalent, and 20% are kind of antagonistic. But the bottom line is that we're not there for a popularity contest. We're there to present and plant seeds and evangelize. And we know we're going to take a hit because it's not a popular message.
And I think that people who have the most resistance are the ones that will come to the realization that maybe there is something to this. Maybe not right away, but in a year or so, or when they have their first child or whatever. And I truly believe that it's touching a chord. Even though they don't like it, they'll remember it because they don't like it.
A couple of the resources they get during the program: they get their workbook on God's Plan for a Joy-Filled Marriage, and they get this amazing book that Betty and I have used, I don't know how many years now, from Christopher West, called The Good News About Sex and Marriage. And it's 115 questions and answers, and we actually even recommend this to our eighth grade class and the parents to present a question and answer format in relationship to what it is that they're doing. So we think that the resources are simple. The program is simple. It's a two-day program. It encompasses six presentations, works out to give you the statistics that Betty had mentioned earlier. And ultimately, what he challenged everybody with at the end is that you need to expand your offerings and think about what it is that you are offering with respect to your programs in pre-Cana. Offer God's Plan is another option. Maybe consider replacing or adjusting your current program, and you can get plenty of support and plenty of activity, and you do need to get permission to present God's Plan, and they do have training programs that will be able to present that information so that couples will really have a comfort level with being able to discuss these issues. He summarized by saying that this plan is proven, in that it prevents statistics that are factually based. It gives a strong language and a strong history and a strong foundation so that it is not weak in any aspect. It is flexible enough that it can be used in any diocese, and it's very affordable. And they have a team that goes around the country that provides strong support from God's Plan. And so this is something that we thought was an excellent presentation and an excellent summary of what would be available as far as, family marriage prep programs are concerned. We then moved in the afternoon to a very holy, faith-filled priest, Father Pat McCormick. And Betty, if you want to speak a little bit about Father Pat, he's he's the parochial vicar down at St. Tim's Parish. And he talked about the priest in marriage prep, and he talked about the difficulty that he has as a priest. And he started out by saying, you know, it used to be hard enough before in sitting down with couples, because you got these couples coming in, they're cohabiting, they're contracepting, they're telling you they want to get married in the Catholic Church. They have a lot of different reasons for why they want to get married in the Catholic Church. Some of them just because they call themselves Catholic, but they don't practice. Some of them because their parents expect it. Some of them because it's just what would be automatic because they grew up Catholic, whatever that means. And now we have the priest sex abuse scandal. And he started out his talk by approaching that and dealing with it very directly and in a very holy and very profound manner, in stating that he, as one of the priests who is not guilty of sexual abuse, has to suffer daily because of what's going on for the very few. And he asked for prayer, and he asked for people to come to some sort of understanding. And then he went on to say how he prepares couples for receiving the sacrament of matrimony, and that he will actually find a couple that are cohabiting and recommend that if they cannot move out from each other, that they sleep in separate bedrooms and they engage in chastity so that they're no longer sexually active prior to their marriage, and that they are getting ready to receive a sacrament. He offers them the sacrament of reconciliation, and he continues to counsel them. And he also recommends that they take a natural family planning class, and invites them to take a class, and gives them literature and information on where classes are being held throughout the archdiocese. And in fact, Betty and I have been, we're kind of personal friends with Father Pat, and we have been in contact and have offered that we would go down and offer classes down at St. Tim's if he finds some couples that are willing to participate in such a program.
Also, I noticed that when we go to precanons at different parishes, when there is a priest involved at your precana program, it's much more enriched. We go to one down in Philadelphia, and this beautiful priest, he will get up and he will introduce us, but he'll also speak a little bit about John Paul and theology of the body, and also the sacrament itself. And then he'll offer a confession throughout the day. At our own parish, our parish priest spoke on spirituality and the Bible and the importance of marriage and how it is related throughout the Bible, and the miracle of Cana, and all the things that all relate to marriage, and how people need to realize how important the sacrament truly is. And of course, it's so endearing, because in our parish, we like to introduce the couples, introduce themselves, and the group introduce themselves, and then the priest introduces himself, and he talks about, you know, the family and the kind of family that they came from, and how rich their faith was within their family. And that's so important for these couples to hear. It's not just about us. It's about the priest and why they are a priest and what encouraged them to be priest, and the family life that they came from, as well as all the couples that are helping out with the program, why we're there. Every time our group, our pre-Cana team, does a pre-Cana, every one of us who have been married from 48 years to 5 years are enriched during this pre-Cana process, because we just keep renewing the richness of the material and the spirituality of what a true marriage is supposed to be about. So it is amazing. But parishes that are just doing their job and just trying to get the paperwork done or get it over with, they're missing the boat, and they're not helping their couples find the richness of a true family life within a marriage. So if your parish priest doesn't come to your pre-Cana program, encourage them to come, even if it's for 15 minutes, to speak about spirituality or marriage in the Bible or something to enrich them, and even give their little testimony about what kind of family life they came from. It was so entertaining and so wonderful. And we were blessed, because in our parish, we have a wonderful priest who happens to be one of 11 children. And he's number 6 of 11. And he was telling us about how religious their family was, and how they would all go to Mass together, but how, you know, they would all pile into their station wagon, which probably isn't legal anymore. And his father at the end of Mass, and they'd all get back in their station wagon, would say, I hear the trumpets blasting now that we've all been to Mass. And I just thought that was so beautiful. And people were so touched by the love that this father had for his beautiful children and his wife. And that's what it truly is about.
And the other aspects are that it was very important for lay people to come to an appreciation and understanding of what the role of the priest is in formation, as Betty mentioned a little while ago, on how important formation is in preparing these couples for marriage. We want these marriages to last. Pope John Paul II tells us that as the family goes, so goes society. And our society is being destructed at its very core element by the breakdown of the family. People are trying to redefine marriage. People are trying to redefine what a family is. People are saying that children do not need a mother and a father, that they can just have two loving parents, even if they're not married and not of the same sex, or maybe single parents. And this is not a knock on people that are divorced. It's not a knock on single parents. And actually, somebody even mentioned that, because we mentioned about divorce. And we mentioned that we don't want these couples to be divorced, that we want them to continue and be successful in their marriage. We don't want you to break up and separate. And if you really think that that's where you're going, then don't get married in the first place.
Plus, it just makes your life more difficult. And it makes it, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm used to it. It's not a big deal. But, you know, that's not what God had planned for you. You know, his plan was for you to be in a loving relationship in communion with him and to create children lovingly. And, you know, that's the plan. And the plan goes awry in society today. And unfortunately, we have to be politically correct and try to apologize not to offend people. And we truly don't want to offend people. But I want to say that, you know, having a loving marriage and fulfilling that marriage dream and having children in the family is a beautiful, beautiful thing and a beautiful gift. And hopefully we will all be in eternity together. And that's why we're here on this earth. That's the meaning of our lives. And that's what's important. Not the house and the cars and the job. It's about the love of Christ and wanting to be with him in heaven someday.
An amazing analogy just came to me when Betty was speaking a moment ago, and it refers to this whole political correctness issue. And I've decided that in my old age, I'm old enough that I don't have to apologize for myself, and I'm not going to apologize and attempt to be politically correct. But the way it normally goes is that if there are people who smoke cigarettes, and you turn around and say that cigarette smoking causes cancer, and you're giving them an objective fact that is the truth, that's proven by science, they will become offended because you are criticizing them. And you're not criticizing them. You're giving them an objective fact, and you want it to be healthy for them, and you want them to stop smoking. So the same analogy can apply to contraception and NFP. We're presenting Catholic Church teaching that's 2,000 years old, given to us by Christ, biblically based, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and explained by 263 popes, especially the last pope, over 5 years, in a book called Theology of the Body and multiple encyclicals. And you're speaking to that in an hour and a half, to a bunch of contracepting, cohabiting couples, and you're trying to say, and this is the way God intended it to be, and this is what will make your life happy, and this is what will make your marriage successful. And they're becoming offended because you're not relativizing their behavior. And that is another problem that John Paul spoke about extremely directly. So the final talk that came of the day was Betty and I giving our road show, and we've done that actually on this program before in talking about what NFP was all about. And then our cardinal came in, and he spoke for about 20 minutes, and he congratulated us and thanked us for our efforts in promoting natural family planning. I will tell you now, before we come to a finality of our program, we have just about a minute left, that all of the talks that were presented at the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Conference on March the 19th will be available on pnfpn.org for free. You can download them to your MP3 player. You can access and send us questions at the website at holyspiritradio.org. And we are very blessed and very gifted. And Betty and I feel very honored that we continue in this ministry to be called to evangelize the good news on sexuality and humanity and marriage and love and what God has intended for us as families and as married couples. And as we always do, I'll give Betty the last word, and then we'll end with a prayer to Mary, who is the queen of families and the mother of us all and the mother of our church.
Well, I'm just so encouraged by these beautiful couples that want to receive the sacrament of marriage, and that our prayers are with you. And all the pre-Cana programs are going on throughout the season now because it's wedding season. And find out about your faith and live it.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.